on this conference, I learned I know a lot of things. So the NUX free, the Vue free, and everything that changes. So this is awesome.
Welcome to the JS World Podcast, powered by passionate people. Here we interview our speakers from the JS World Conference. We talk life, tech, and all sorts of things. Like what we have to offer? Like and subscribe. And don't forget to follow us on @JSWorldConf on Twitter.
Hello and welcome to another episode from JS World Podcast. My name is Madhat. I'm a consultant for passionate people, and alongside with me,
Hi, I'm Kisu, Vue.js lawyer, helper on Stack Overflow, Nux ambassador, and we mainly have this wonderful guy.
Yeah, would you maybe please introduce yourself to the people who might not know you?
Hi everyone, my name is Tomasz Kaniarzu, and every day I'm working as a head of technology at Monterey, and recently I'm diving into Web3, so this is my hobby right now, and also I'm a front-end developer, and I love Vue right now. After this conference, of course.
Yeah, that's awesome. Awesome to start with that you love Vue right now. How was it before Vue? What you were doing before Vue?
Oh, it's a tricky question because I previously worked as a React developer. So I building the website.
No shame in that. No shame in that. I feel that you are ashamed that you work as React developer. I am working full-time React now, okay. But I love Vue as well.
Yeah, but React started changing. So when then Dan Abramov moved from Redux team to the core team of React, he introduced the hooks. And that was something like a bomb. And previously I building the stable applications with class components. And that was a great idea because you organize high order components and everything is clean. So you could introduce the clean code methods from Uncle Bob and that works fine. Yeah. But Abramov trying to create something more like, better developer experience and introduce the hooks. But he not introduced the hooks in a proper way, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But he put the bomb and we have class components with hooks right now. Yeah. It's a different story. But for me, it's, when you are not experienced developer, there is a problem to organize the code. Yeah, so you don't know the features like functional programming introduced to the organizing code. Yeah. And unexperienced developers has the ability to build the components in a class way because it is easy way to do it. And the Vue has a different story. So the Vue has a ability to expand the developer experience with mind something like building the better developer experience, like in the NUX 3 right now. Mm. It's a TypeScript, okay. Directly connected with functions. So this is not mixing each other, the concepts of components with the classes, but introducing the proper way of functional components. That's why I like the Vue. But I don't have experience with a Vue right now. I'm building, two applications with Vue. Okay. Yeah. And
do you think that like the composables in Vue are the better implementation of React hooks?
Yep. Okay. They are more organized because when you are using the hooks, there is something like a magic between them because use the use effect, for example.
Yeah.
And this is not understanding correctly by some of people because this is something like a magic because you should use it, using the use effect, but why? Why you should use it? So previously they have something like a component lifecycle and you have a method. So you are using only the methods. Right now you should use the use effect. And use state and everything is rubbish right now because you are creating the spaghetti code.
I do agree that you had to use useEffect for like multiple life cycle that it was separate before in the class component. But don't you think that it's something that it's DX in the end, it's developer experience that the person who is not experienced with using useEffect is supposed to learn it and that's it.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, but I mean. Yeah, of course, I understand your opinion, but maybe Vue is more, open for DX is put in higher than in React a little bit. But still, it's something that we can discuss for a lot of time. No,
but what I mean is that, for example, if you start in React, you need to understand how useEffect works and to use it properly. So if you have more flexibility and you organize your hooks in some way, if it's poorly architectured from the start, you will do it wrong in the long run. While in Vue, if you don't want to use composable, so the same as React hooks, you can just use Options API, and you cannot fail on this one because it's easy and it's less flexible. Mm-hmm. But since it's less flexible, you can make less mistakes. So you have those, this paradigm of either I use it easy on easy mode because I'm new, or I use it more advanced with hooks. But if I don't feel comfortable or good enough, I can just skip it. So, and while in React, it's kind of mandatory to use it from the start. Yep. And you need a great organization to have it, well done.
Yeah, so, as long as you are going to use functional component, of course. Yeah, sounds great. So yeah, that's why you get motivated to view and translate.
And I have another reason. Yeah. Because in the company, I have Artur Rosa. He was a speaker on today's conference. And he trying to push me to the view sometimes, and he sell me the ideas. So this is when you have a support for view, and you have a guide.
We do have one at our company because he's always pushing for, you know, view and Next. So but we love it.
Recently, I met Daniel Rowe. So he met us. He introduced us Next free on a Vue.js meetup in Monterey, and. That was great. So he tell me about the developer experience and that he changes everything. This is another bomb. So I think this is great.
We interviewed him yesterday as well, and he talked about the developer experience. So that's awesome. Super. So if we translate to the other topic that you are picking up today about the Web3, what makes this transition that you would love to get into the Web3 and how it comes to you? What triggers you?
Another difficult question. I think this is something like a hobby, because Web3 is right now is a buzzword. So when you're diving into Web3, there is a lot of something like a ways to do it. So you're building the application with blockchain, or maybe they're building the application for NFTs, or maybe they're building the applications front-end application Web 2.0 for blockchain. So there is a lot of possibilities. And there is no one definition for Web3. But what is attract me is decentralization. Yeah. I always think it like web should be decentralized. So because when you are using the servers and you are using the cloud or maybe something similar, there is always the bottleneck. So you need to think about the infrastructure. You need to think about the internet connection. Yeah. But Web3 giving the opportunity to connect with the nodes. And I think maybe I will be old when the dream comes true and you could connect with another phone, and you could create something like application connecting each other without something like a middleman.
A network or something.
Yeah, because right now Web3 is working like something like a decentralized way, but you're using centralization. Yep. So the Web 2.0 application is always there because you need to connect with your phone or maybe with your computer to the network.
Yeah.
And so, there is a problem.
And so do you have like a specific blockchain that you're using for your dApps or that is really good at this?
There is always a purpose. So when you are trying to choose the application connected with, the dApps working in network like Ethereum. So you're using Ethereum or Ethereum similar blockchains. Yeah. But if you want to build something different, so something more with speed in mind, more performant, I'm trying to choose the Solana.
Solana, yeah, I heard.
Because this is working a different way, and this is giving you opportunity to react more quickly on the changes. And the decentralized applications works more smoothly, but also there is a bottleneck everywhere. So,
but you know, in August, Ethereum is going to move from proof of work to proof of stake.
That
will be an awesome thing. It will, you know, move everything faster in the Ethereum world.
But it's still in progress. So
it is, But August is not too far from now.
Yeah, but it's always delayed. I mean, before it was June, and before it was. Yep.
It is always.
But for example, tomorrow, if you want to be on, open source, decentralized WhatsApp, for example, what would you choose as your tech stack?
As I said in my presentation, I'm trying to use the technologies already working without the blockchain. Because when you are thinking about decentralization, only decentralization, you don't need the blockchain. Okay. And you have a libP2P, and this is something like a spine for connectivity with a node.
Yeah.
But it's a disclaimer. There is always something like a centralization in that kind of technology. For example, WebRTC need the something like a connecting server. This is working one time, but you need to use the something like a possibility from Web 2.0, the NAT connection, and because as a node and a client, you don't have a public IPA. Yep. So you are connecting as only the client. So this is a difficult way, but right now it's pretty awesome because you're connecting the PubSub functioning is pretty amazing. Yeah. And for me, for building applications, is that way because I love the front end. So Leap B2B giving opportunity to connect with nodes and working extremely fast in a circumstances, of course, because the connection and the peer discovery is a slow process. So the booting up the application is extremely slow.
Yeah.
But this is a great way. But if you want to build something like a private application and the individual oriented, I will choose the EVM because it is most popular and the solidity and the building the contracts that giving the opportunity to build the application that works. And it's working already. But you, of course, you need to think about everything when you're building the smart contract, because when you are trying to deploy it, it's okay. It's you can't change it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's just written in the blockchain, so you need to think about it.
Yeah, yeah. With this kind of flexibility, I think you have to manage everything yourself. Yeah, that sounds great.
And also, as always, if you want something decentralized and a bit less corpo, you have always more work to do.
Super. So yeah, enough technicality. Let's move a little bit about what you're doing for in your life other than coding, open sourcing, and Web3. So do you have any other hobbies, something that you're doing in your spare time?
I'm trying to be something like a filmmaker.
Filmmaker.
Because I'm doing the videos and I like the vintage lenses. So I'm doing the videos with vintage lenses and the vintage look. So this is a great way to do it. And also I'm trying to be a photographer, but a amateur photographer, and this is my hobbies.
Yeah.
And I like spending time with my children. So
that's perfect.
This is, I think this is.
He's making some photos too. So
yeah, it's we have a lot of things that we need to connect afterwards. So, but yeah, did you think about since you're trying to filmmaking and some photography, did you think about selling this stuff as NFTs or something?
I'm not the artist because I'm an amateur, so I don't know. Maybe somebody wants to buy it.
Yeah. But have you seen the NFTs that they are paying millions for it? Come on.
My dad will buy it, don't worry.
No, I would not, because I can't sell it that with millions like the other people. Have you seen that? That's ridiculous,
this is,
right?
It's crazy. But I don't know. I'm not an artist. Yesterday, I recently trying to meet Blender company in Amsterdam. And I talked with Pablo about artists and everything, because I'm also trying to build a 3D artist stylish contents or something like this, but also amateur. Yeah. So this for me is a great, but for something like selling it, it's
at some point, at some point, because you're already connected with the Web3 and you can build smart contracts and sell stuff as NFTs, and your stuff, your photographs and everything is supposed to be very unique, right? Regardless, how is the quality? But you're doing something unique that you need to
maybe
put it in the internet somehow. Because I think this is the next wave for anyone who is creating content. However, whatever the content is, it's images, videos, or anything else. My dream, for example, is to have this kind of YouTube thing. All right, not to get paid like reality, like from advertising, like what they are doing, but to give it as an NFT. So if you're watching my video, you own it. You pay the money, okay. You're all watching this, okay, in favor for Thomas, not me. I'm not getting the money. So it's something like that. It would be awesome to have this in Web3. And I think we're close to have something like that as well.
Maybe, but as I said before, I'm not an artist, so maybe time will tell. Maybe I could switch. Right now I'm trying to be more like a better developer and trying to learn something new. So on this conference I learned a lot of things. So the NUX 3, the Vue 3, and everything that changes. So this is awesome. So for me as a front-end developer, it's a great that I could learn on that kind of a conference.
That's super.
So I'm going to bounce on two things that you said, because I gave a talk 2 days ago about Blender. Mm-hmm. So there's a guy that you probably know who is named Blender Guru. yep. So Andrew Price, and who was talking about NFTs recently and how you could be an artist in the upcoming years and make money without being obliged to use a platform, but having your own community regarding, all right, this is my content and this is how you can access it. Yeah, so this is really interesting, and I totally recommend getting into the Blender, because this is creative and you can get all the, you can express anything with it. So yeah, it's really, really nice.
Yep.
So.
This is, that was my another hobby, because I started the Blender about 2002.
All right.
So okay. When the Ton released the open source version, this is the next version. So I started using it. Because I previously using the 3ds Max, so I'm doing the architectural visualization.
Mm. So, did you do your house, for example, in 3D?
Right now, I'm doing it because I'm creating the visual studio in the Blender.
That's fun.
That's also something.
This is the most fun thing to do. Like your office or your house, seen from the top, it's like really nice.
I would love to do that as well. We need to connect, of course, and talk about this a little bit more. So yeah, we would like to just wrap it up with one question. Do you have any life hack or developer hack that you can give us and we can adopt it today and make our life easier?
Huh, that's another tricky question. I think the best answer for this kind of question is learning the DevOps, so the culture. I'm not talking about learning the CI/CD.
Not AWS.
AWS. I'm only talking about your ability to be more flexible. So you need to understand what kind of infrastructure you're aiming. So for example, like on the talks, Edge, or you are aiming for cloud, and you need to understand the pros and cons. And the DevOps giving you something that kind of ability. And this is a best hack for everyone, because when you are front-end developer, you're always deploying. Yeah. So the DevOps is the key for me. Because I am a DevOps, so this is opinionated.
That's great, yeah. As a front-ender, you know, there is a joke saying, you know, if you are a front-ender and doing DevOps, it's DevOps with an I, you know, DevOps. It's usually like that. Thank you very much for being with us. It was a pleasure. And thanks for being in the conference.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening, and until the next one.